Blog Talk Radio.
What difference if I hail from North or South, or from the East or West? My heart is filled with love.
Technical problem. I hope this corrects it so that it won't be dead space. So my apologies. So we're going to resume what was originally scheduled, but update today is March 16th, and a lot of interesting events and birthdays on this date. You raised the issue about Japan. A lot of people around the world are trying to help. There's a lot of tragedy there. It's a horrible disaster, and this is the first time. This is much worse than Chernobyl. And there's controversy about those reactors. On this issue of nuclear reactors and safety and that whole issue, there would be an interesting connection to the father of a domestic terrorist, an American domestic terrorist. We'll get into that Friday. Very interesting connection to nuclear power. I'm surprised this guy didn't bring it up. Considering he's involved, but he's lived quite well off of the wealth that his father got as being connected to nuclear power in this particular place, and this outfit that he ran charged some of the highest utility rates in the country. Anyway, Japan has since the Russo-Japanese War, that was the first modern war for Japan, in which everybody expected the Russians to kick Japanese butt, but it was the other way around. The Japanese had the British build their ships. There was one ship built in the United States called the Varig, the first Varig, and that was saw action in the Russo-Japanese War. It was built in Philadelphia, and there is a connection to the U.S. Supreme Court involving that ship. Now, its namesake was commissioned, I think, in the late 80s. It was going to be an aircraft carrier in the Soviet Navy, and instead became nuclear cruiser. And it visited San Francisco, and that's how I got interested in it. We'll get into that. It's coming up, and has a connection to the Steve Neri case, a U.S. Navy sailor. But Japan, the American correspondent, was born in San Francisco. Jack London used his ingenuity to get in to Manchuria to cover the war, the Russo-Japanese War. He witnessed the atrocities perpetrated upon the Russian POWs and warned that we were going to have a war with Japan. And when we had that war with Japan, there were horrible atrocities, even before the United States got involved. But was the rape of Nanking, and Iris Chang, the late Iris Chang, documented that, wrote a book on that. There was a conference that included some Japanese scholars and Japanese war veterans who are trying to get the Japanese government and the emperor to apologize and compensate the victims of Japanese aggression in World War II. In Manchuria, the use of German warfare on American and other allied POWs, units 761, Major Ishii. The Japanese have never apologized. The Japanese government has never apologized for this, nor compensated these veterans who are very angry still in the Bataan Death March, and also the Korean comfort women who were used as whores by the Japanese military. And, of course, the rape of Manila, what they did in the Philippines, and then the theft of what is known as Yamashita's gold. It was American gold, which was seized by General Yamashita's forces when they invaded the Philippines and conquered it during World War II. And when MacArthur landed, were unable to find that gold. At least that's the story. Now, in 1989 earthquake here in San Francisco, I was here, and my dog, for 3 days before the earthquake, I think it was in September, I was acting very funny and would sit by the door and would always want to go out. And then that earthquake occurred in the afternoon, and I was walking down the street, and the street started to undulate, and then there was a freeway overpass, and I decided, in front of me, I decided, do I get swallowed by the earth or crushed by the overpass? And I decided to run home, which I did. Dog was waiting by the door. And other people have noticed that there is animal behavior when there is an earthquake. Now, on today's a news item from Japan, in which a dog was caught in the horrible earthquake tragedy, and its buddy, another canine, was injured, and this dog stuck by him all along. And fortunately, both dogs were rescued. There's a famous movie we'll get into another day about a Japanese dog that used to go with its owner to the train station, and he went to work, and every day at the same time the dog would be there waiting for him. And one day he didn't come home. He had a heart attack, and the dog kept coming to the train station looking for its owner. It's a very heartwarming story, and I'll find the name of it. Excuse me, I still got this bloody cold. One of the a famous judge had an unusual background. She served in the San Francisco Superior Court system as a civil judge and as a probate judge. That's how she ended her life. Isabella Grant Horton. She was the niece of the fop in the Fred Astaire, Ginger Rogers movies, Edward Everett Horton. And she's very important because she was one of the first women in the OSS, Office of Strategic Services, which was the forerunner of the Central Intelligence Agency. She was also the probate judge in the Juan P. Ferre probate in 1996-97, and it was in that probate that we discovered, this was not investigated by the San Francisco public defender, gross incompetent named Pat, not Pat Brown, but Jeff Brown, a political hack. A lot of things you didn't investigate, but anyway, we investigated it, and what came up in the probate was that the Juan P. Ferre was family bank was the oldest bank in Argentina, going back to 1822. And for those of you who don't know it, Argentina supported the Nazis in World War II. And after World War II, they put out the welcome mat to people like Adolf Eichmann, Dr. Mengele, Otto Skorzeny, Barbie, the Butcher of Lyon, a lot of the Nazi war criminals, both German, French, fled through Argentina, then ended up in Paraguay, Chile, and other South American countries, and I think Brazil. And anyway, it is believed that the Bank of the Province of Buenos Aires held assets, obtained assets stolen from Europeans during World War II. Now, remember, it wasn't only Jews that got ripped off. Wherever the Nazis occupied a country, they ripped off aristocrats, Catholics, Jewry, Protestants. I was Jews as well, and it was open season on anybody that had assets. And a lot of this assets, artwork is stolen from the museums in Nazi-occupied Europe. A lot of that has never been recovered. And this is very important because this guy, Juan Pifri, was a closet neo-Nazi. And he was the guy that on March 23rd went out after a cocaine party in the Castro and went looking for a young white boy sailor, which he found in 18-year-old Stephen Neri. It's a horrible case. It's 16 years old. It cost the American taxpayer an estimated $15 million to $60 million. $10 million went for a building to honor this sexual predator. And, of course, the morons in the media didn't publish this. But it's real estate, and it cannot. It's irrefutable. And so since we don't have any voice recordings of Isabella, Judge Isabella, we'll play her uncle, who was quite a judge. He was reportedly gay, and he always played the fop in the Fred Astaire movies. Now, there's another connection to the Fred Astaire movie, Fred Astaire sister, Adele Astaire. They used to work as a pair. She married Lord Cavendish, English lord, who was the grandson of a Lord Cavendish back in the 1890s, who worked as a peace envoy from the, I think, the Gladstone government. Went to Ireland. He was assassinated by the grandfather of the of Terence Hallinan. Patrick Hallinan was involved in the assassination in Dublin Park, and he fled to the United States and was not extradited, and he became a streetcar driver in San Francisco and had a son, Vincent Hallinan, a famous lawyer, another crook with the longshoreman, and he went to federal prison. He had five sons. Two of them became lawyers, and very controversial lawyers. And one of them became the district attorney of San Francisco, who was connected to Juan Pifri, and of course hated the military. And he's deeply involved in this case, so it's very circular, this case. Incidentally, Jack Cashel, the famous author, wrote part of this case. He didn't get the federal stuff, the military stuff, in his book, What's the Matter with California? And he's got a new book out, Deconstructing Obama. Reportedly, he will be featured on Fox TV this weekend. So I'll update you Friday on that. But here we're going to play this clip from Horton. Where the heck is it? Here we go. Quite a character, and he's quite entertaining. And give me an idea of that family.
Never mind. It's so incomprehensible. It doesn't seem quite sensible. And yet I like it. Please, let it not be. It's almost quite reliable. And yet it's quite enjoyable. Ooh, I'm full of rhapsody. Too many people here. Ripping, skipping, lightly bounding.
Stop it. Stop it.
Really? This is most astounding.
It makes one feel so thrillable.
Well, we've exhausted every syllable.
I crave frivolity.
And that one, that's not cool.
So we wanted to honor Judge Isabella. She was an honest judge, very competent. She never married, like her uncle, Edward Everett Horton. Among the other birthdays on March 16th, very interesting, another San Francisco connection. If you've come to San Francisco and ridden the cable cars, the inventor of the cable cars, Andrew Halliday, at Halliday Plaza, where the one of the cable cars turns around, is named in his honor. Now, as a connection to the San Francisco SPCA, was the original cable cars were pulled by horses, and the horses were horribly abused, and horrible things. If they were injured, they had to die first before the insurance companies would pay off. But the San Francisco SPCA started to help the cable car horses. It's one of the finer things that they've done. And during World War II, the San Francisco SPCA, when saw Japan was going to invade Hawaii, that they helped the animal welfare societies in Hawaii. They offered to take their dogs to the mainland here and shelter them here until the war was over. Among the other birthdays today is Maxim Gorky, great writer. Here's an anti-Nazi. He was one of the Roman Catholic prelates who didn't embrace Hitler. Cardinal Clemens Graf von der Galen, the Bishop of Münster, who spoke out against Hitler and the Nazis. He was one of them, didn't get co-opted like so many Catholics today buy into the political and sexual agendas, unfortunately. And then the father of the Shah of Iran, the one who was deposed, the first Shah, Reza Shah Pahlavi, was born today. The inventor, the founder of the United Steelworkers, which later became merged into the CIO, Lloyd McBride, was born today. Pat Nixon, the long-suffering First Lady, she was a wife of Richard Nixon. She was born today. And then we had John Addison, famous composer. If you saw the movie Tom Jones, he wrote the score. Jerry Lewis, who was born today, his Jewish name was Levitch, L-E-V-I-T-C-H. And then Daniel Patrick Moynihan worked in the Nixon administration, also a senator from New York, and also was born in Hell's Kitchen in New York, and he was also ambassador to India. And then we had Bernardo Bertolucci, The Last Tango in Paris, a horrible movie with Marlon Brando, born today. And then we had this guy's on the FBI, it's first Vietnamese on the FBI wanted list, Phuong Vuong. I don't know if they ever captured him. They usually get their man or woman. And among the deaths today, the great composer, he died at 42, but he is probably the greatest of the Russian composers, Modest Mussorgsky. He was reportedly gay. Let's see, Charles Darwin died today. And then we had the founder of the American Society of Publishers and Composers and Artists, ASCAP, that's what that stands for, George Thorndike Arngrell, lawyer. He started that. He died today. And then great, the guitar concerto that you probably hear the most of, Mario Tedesco, Castelnuovo Tedesco, Italian-Jewish ethnicity. He died today. And then Prime Minister of Italy, Aldo Moro, was assassinated by the Red Brigades on this date. And then Jean Monnet, who started the European common market and this United States of Europe started with these people. He died today. And then Arthur Godfrey, who served in the U.S. Navy, he died today. The other thing that people should be concerned about, anybody that's an heir of Holocaust victims, or I should say World War II victims, especially in Europe, there's also the Japanese issue, should be concerned about the Steve Neri case, and should we'll bring up more about Judge Isabella Grant Horton and the certified court record of the probate involving that bank. And that's where people ought to be looking. And it's interesting that two newspapers founded by Jews, the New York Times, which is founded by Jews from Tennessee Oaks, and they changed their name to, it was OCHS, and then one of them changed their name to OAKS, founded the New York Times, and then in San Francisco, two Dutch Jews, the de Jong brothers, who founded the San Francisco Chronicle. They both papers ran ads about Holocaust assets and people looking for them, so we'll get into that more because it's very relevant to the Juan P. Furrier case and that bank in Argentina. excuse me. And let's see. excuse me. And then, of course, things that people should remember, that Japan has got a lot of money. Or as they say, they got a lot of yen. And maybe what they need is earthquake and tsunami experts and expertise in how to deal with this nuclear. I hope it doesn't become a Holocaust, but it could very well be. Apparently, there was somebody on Fox TV today, General Electric atomic engineer, I guess, who says that those nuclear reactors that were built in Japan were not safe. I think that's the gist of what he said. And he quit, and they weren't upgraded to safety standards today. And it's also interesting that Angela Merkel, the Chancellor of Germany, has taken offline, I guess that's the word to use, all nuclear reactors, power reactors that were put online before, I think, 1970 or 1960. And there's going to be a three-month suspension. These things will offline until they inspect them and make sure that they are safe. There was an earthquake in Germany, believe it or not. The other question is the France. France produces, I think, over 70% of its electrical needs using nuclear power. Now, one of the early scientists, Madame Curie, she was Polish. There's a famous movie about her starring Walter Pidgeon and Greer Garson, great movie. She was one of the, she was a physicist also. She was the first woman and the only woman to win two Nobel Prizes in science. She did a lot of work on the radiation and all, and she died of cancer, and her daughter continued, and her husband, Pierre Curie, was killed crossing the street. A horse and carriage ran him down. Great movie, Madame Curie. Recommend you see that. That's one of the times that Hollywood treated history accurately. Excuse me. And then the other things, upcoming, we have a lot of videos that are in the can. I just haven't had a chance to get them all edited down. And we'll be putting that up on our Amicus Veritas, AMICUSVERITAS YouTube site. We have coming up a legal immigrant from Yugoslavia who served in the Yugoslav Army. He is now in the financial sector in the United States, and I know the chap, and we're working on an interview coming up tentatively entitled, What Would Tito Do If He Was Still Alive? What would he have done about these Croatia, Serbia, Kosovo, all those districts in, or those areas of what was the former Yugoslavia? He would have probably kicked butt. And shot a few. That's the way they usually operated. And it's a fascinating character. People have forgotten about Tito. Some people who had cars remember the Yugo, which is one of the worst vehicles ever produced. Excuse me. So that'll be coming up, and we hope to put that on live. There's one other thing I wanted to get today, and excuse me for just a second while we try to find that. Excuse me. With this bloody cold, and we're trying out this new mic. But and today, talking about nuclear energy and atomic weapons, on this day, President Eisenhower in 1955 authorized the use of atomic weapons in the case of war. So a lot of this is tying in to what's going on today. Hopefully, now we know that Iran has some nuclear capability, whether or not they've been able to put this on rockets and aim them at Tel Aviv and Israel, we're not sure yet. Incidentally, today, Robert Gardner, an American scientist, he was the first one to produce a liquid propelled rocket. It wasn't the Germans, it was an American. So we should pat ourselves on the back. It's something that Germans are known as the greatest scientists and the greatest greatest creators and the greatest destroyers. But this, we went up on the rockets. And this was done during the late 20s, early 30s. Also, the first cherry tree was planted in Washington by Mrs. William Howard Taft, the fattest president of all time. Also on this date, William Howard Taft was governor general of the Philippines, and he used to ride a horse. He was 300 pounds plus. And when he got on a horse, people used to say it was cruelty to the animal. But he managed to get around, and he had the biggest bathtub ever installed in the White House, and he had cows grazing in the back so he could have fresh milk. But on this day also, Ferdinand Magellan, who was Portuguese from the Iberian Peninsula, he discovered the Philippines and later became dinner for the cannibals there. And also here in San Francisco, we'll bring this up, Philippine war veterans became American citizens who served in MacArthur's army when it was integrated. Just after Pearl Harbor, survivors of Bataan Corregidor live in a place called Lapu, on a street called Lapu-Lapu. Lapu-Lapu was the cannibal who participated in Magellan as a meal for dinner. So there's a lot of history that ties in, and we like to tie these threads together. So on Friday, we'll be bringing up the father of a terrorist who was involved in this nuclear energy field and some controversy about that. And this is something nobody's looked at. And we will be bringing that up. And also, we hope to have Pat Butler back to for his comments and observations on the first Jewish mayor of Chicago and that whole clique back there. That's Patrick Butler, who did a couple of wonderful interviews. And we hope to have some of our Canadian friends talking about what's going on north of the border. So we'll end now with, excuse me, still this bloody cold, with what represents American politics today, politics and poker. Now, that phrase comes from the days when Warren G. Harding was a senator, and they used to say smoke-filled rooms, and where decisions were made by politicians, and they sat around and played poker, smoking big stogie cigars. Now they're more likely to be sipping cognac or Chardonnay and snorting coke, or some of them snort pot. We've seen that here in San Francisco at the Board of Supervisors, where not only were politicians snorting cocaine, but some of the media who covered the politicians. So we'll end with our favorite ending theme.
What do you say, Ben? Want a hand?
No, you guys go ahead. I got too much on my mind to play poker.
King bet.
Cost you five. Tony, up to you.
Okay, Tony, what are you going to do?
I'm in.
So am I.
Fine.
Me too. Gentlemen, here we are, and one thing is clear. We gotta pick a candidate for Congress this year.
Big ace.
Ace bet.
You'll pay through the nose.
Okay, where do you stand?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Here goes.
Possible straight, possible flush, nothing.
Gentlemen, how about some names we can use? Some qualified Republican who's willing to lose.
Out of bounds, we should make Jack Riley the guy.
Which Riley are you thinking of, Jack B or Jack Y?
I say, neither one, I never even met him.
I say, when you got a pair of Jacks, bet out.
Poker, which is more important?
Paratrade.
Get him.
Little trade, good as gold.
I'll stay.
Raise your mind.
I'll fall.
I'll fold.
I'll raise your back.
I think you're bluffing.
Put your money where your mouth is.
Okay, I'm in.
Gentlemen, knock it off and let's get this done.
Try Michael Fajicinkovich. I'm certain he can run.
Mike is out. I'm afraid he just wouldn't sell. Nobody likes a candidate whose name they can't spell.
How about Dave Zimmerman?
Davey's too bright.
What about Walt Gustafson?
Walt died last night.
How about Frank Monahan?
What about George Gale?
Frank ain't a citizen, and George is in jail.
We could run out Wallenstein.
He's only 23.
What about Ed Peterson?
You idiot, that's me!
Politics and poker, politics and poker, play for a pot that's mediocre. Politics and poker, rubbing neck and neck. Predictable, that's because usually you can stack the deck.
Well, folks, tune in Friday. We'll have the hour show, 5 to 6, and we'll hope to see you then. This will be up in the archives, and you can download it on your iPod and on from the Blog Talk Radio. Good night. Mm-hmm.